This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate
football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that's no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
Welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio.
We're not going to do
Monday
what everybody thinks
program.
We're going to do. What just freak out, man.
Oh, what do you think we're going to do?
We're not going to freak out, man.
Yeah, no need to freak out.
Who's coming with me, man? Jan. Thank you, Jan. Yep. No. Tennessee got a ho-hum win in basketball and football, and really nothing else happened. Interesting over the weekend, so good show, everybody. Mm-hmm. I'd say we extend the holiday weekend one more day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See you tomorrow.
All right.
For Optimism Tuesday.
Ooh, buddy.
And the Presbyterian Blue Hose. We'll see you in 24 hours, folks.
For the what? Huh? Oh, yeah.
The Presbyterian Blue Hose. It's
a
basketball team.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Sound like you said blue hose weird, and I was
how else do you say blue hose? Did you just want me to say blue hose again?
It is a great mask.
H-O-S-E, you
it's a
scoundrel.
Great
scallywag.
Nah, I grew up in the next town over from the Presbyterian College.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. When I was real, I mean, like, very first town. Big high school football rivalry with the Clinton Red Devils.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Presbyterian College.
Yes.
Spent many a summer there.
Let's not bury the lead, Nate.
That's who we're playing next in basketball. That's what.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think.
Everyone knows the top story right now is Josh Heupel being the winningest first-year Power 5 coach in all of college football.
He snagged that alone, correct?
He did, because Beamer got 30 zipped by Clemson.
Sucks for Adam Hickman, who had South Carolina and SEC Eliminator. I mean, SEC Survivor.
Thank you. At least get the damn name of the game right. You know, it matters to some of us.
But old Brian Harsin almost pulled it off.
What does that have to do with anything? Who had him?
Wouldn't he have tied Heupel or not?
Oh, I see. Guy? I see. Yeah, I think it would have.
I think it was Harsin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no.
No. No, no, no. No, no,
and
no.
It was the weirdest score of the weekend, I thought, even in a win. Like, if I'd said, hey, Auburn-Alabama, got to be a close game, what do you think the score's going to be?
What was the final, 24-22?
Yeah, I don't think you'd have been like, probably 10-3 for most of the game.
Yeah.
10-0. 10-10. Going to overtime.
Instant classic.
Very weird.
That makes me sick.
Screaming at the TV. End of the first overtime. Like, go for two now.
That's
go
what
for
I,
two now.
That's what I said.
You have no shot.
That's what
you
I
have no shot to match Alabama.
Yeah, was
possession
I,
for
was
possession.
Was I crazy? I'm like, you're going to have to start going
for
two.
And all they do is run that little tight end screen that they ran later.
The next play.
Can you imagine?
It was the next play, wasn't it?
No.
They did start at the 25, but they ran it on four.
No. That was their first two-point conversion that
okay,
they got.
Okay, that's what I said. When they got it, I was like,
that's their two-point play.
I said, why didn't you call that and win the damn
run
game?
Run that at the end of the first overtime, and
I'm
it's
glad
a ball
I was,
game.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that. I was losing my mind. I was like, Brian Harsin, you're at home. You have a one play to win the game. If you don't get it, no one's going to care. No one's going to say, well, fire Harsin.
It would have been the right decision. I mean, TJ Finley running two-point plays against Bryce Young is like – I mean, that's knife
it's
in a gunfight.
Literally so. Chess versus checkers.
Yeah.
Literally.
And Finley can't even move. He's got a bum ankle. Like,
which he played up most of the game.
Like,
but I'm not saying it wasn't hurting him.
Put
good.
It on one play.
He looked like Lieutenant
Hoping
Dan.
Hoping Alabama got falls down or something, which, like, they didn't even block that screen very well, and the tight end still got in. That could have been the game winner.
I'm glad you said it. I was screaming.
Yeah.
Go for two, you coward.
You're going to have to go for two anyway
exactly.
later. When Alabama has an opportunity, like, just put it on the...
So dumb.
Yeah. Psh, whatever.
Harsin. Hope he enjoys Washington.
I guess at least Alabama is my playoff team. I was so ready for them to get beat, though. The chaos.
I lost another one. The Buckeyes went down bigly.
Yeah, you did.
Bigly.
Who has Michigan, Davey?
Congrats, woo! Dave. It was weird because going into that game, obviously I have Ohio State, and the stakes for our playoff competition are huge. Like, you definitely don't want to not win
right.
when you have a chance to win. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars, bragging rights.
Months and months.
You know, never pay for another laundry ever. But after I've watched, first quarter and a half, I'm like, you know what? If Michigan will just run the damn ball, they're going to pound Ohio State into oblivion. They were averaging like 8 yards a carry when they threw that pick in the end zone, mm-hmm. which was it was a bad play call. It was a bad decision. It was a worse throw. They would have intercepted twice. The first guy wasn't there. The second guy would have caught it. But then they settled down. They started running the football, and they absolutely pounded Ohio State. Just beat the brakes off of them. Yeah. And it could have been way, way worse.
Won the game in the trenches. Well, I mean – Ohio State's better at the I feel like they're better at the skill positions. They really are. But
no, they definitely are.
You can't block. I mean, that's it. Michigan did get out gained in the first half, but when they went down the red zone, they scored touchdowns, and Ohio State kicked field goals. It was 14-13 instead of like 21-14, for example. And in the second half, Michigan just kept leaning on them and pulled away. The Wolverines up to number 2 in the AP top 25.
Probably deserve
3 in the coaches' poll.
Who are they going to get?
Who they got this? Iowa, because old Wisconsin choked it away to PJ Fleck.
Wisconsin, you can't trust.
I told
them
you
for
this was
going to
happen.
You can't
I told
trust
you.
Wisconsin for
remember
anything.
That day I picked Wisconsin as a playoff team, and then I immediately dropped and added Iowa and said I think Wisconsin will probably drop one. Iowa would have the best chance to win the Big Ten. Mm. Now, out of those two teams, obviously, it's not going to matter.
Really. No, it's not anymore.
But if Iowa beats Michigan, oh, chaos.
Yeah.
The Big Ten
will have
no one-loss teams. Especially since my Cowboys got it done.
They did.
Late. Bedlam. Maybe the game of the weekend. Incredible.
Can't remember who I took in that game. Davey will have it there for us later.
Well, I think we took Oklahoma State, but I think they covered.
Ready,
they went by four. Ready to contribute.
Yeah, I don't know if we might have locked in at four. I can't recall. I'll get that pulled up. I want to go back real quick. Should have made this at the moment. It's inappropriate, but you're talking about Presbyterian, and you're talking about how they're the blue hose. I don't know many blue ones, but I know a lot of white ones. Moving back to the conversation at hand.
What's wrong with you?
A lot of things. But shouts out Eric Gray for if you did have Oklahoma State, he's the
what
reason
you
got that.
Just give us the stats. We don't need this little monologue of jokes attacking Presbyterian and Eric Gray. Jesus.
It's a bad muff.
I mean, you're getting into the coaching search by talking about that game because that's
no,
really
we're
the last
not.
One
we're
apparent.
Doing we're doing our own thing. Quit trying to steer the show. We can't.
You have some
I
data
you
for
the
us.
Data,
is the computer picks. Booted up?
Well, I had to work on the other one first.
No, that computer.
This one's coming.
Oh God,
he doesn't even have it yet.
He just wanted to sit there and make a couple terrible jokes. Disgusting.
I only made one.
Disgusting.
And I just gave a shout out. It's not a joke. It's just a shout out.
Yeah, I thought Eric Gray got paid in money, not hoes.
So. How are you knocking your Oklahoma Sooners? Why are you doing that? That's your team.
Not anymore. It's not.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, yeah, it's Spencer Rattler, Lincoln Riley. It's all gone. It's all gone.
It's all gone. Basically.
Yeah. It'll be Caleb Williams and Josh Heupel pretty soon. Probably.
Hey. Here.
Oh.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
We get Caleb Williams here, baby. Let's go to Atlanta.
Yeah. See how I spun you there. Got you on my side.
Imagine this offense with a guy like that.
I'm having a pretty good time imagining it with Hendon Hooker. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking. Thanks for checking in, though. Appreciate it.
Just imagine if he was faster, stronger.
Is he faster or stronger?
Caleb Williams.
Is he stronger?
Yeah.
Let's put him on the bench. See what happens there. The bench press, of course. I wouldn't necessarily want him on the bench, but we could go two quarterback system. I'd be fine with that.
If you were a college football coach, would you go from Oklahoma to USC?
If I was a coward.
Kind of in a vacuum. Like, does that not
well,
does
look,
that make any sense
no,
to you?
No, look, here's the deal. Where is it going to be easier to make the playoff?
I get that argument.
For the next, you know, he restarts the clock. He gets a pay raise. I don't want to say guaranteed, but, like, do we think, is Cristobal going to stay at Oregon throughout all this?
Do you think if they'd have won, do you think if Oklahoma was undefeated, he leaves? Or do you think he's like, do you think he's realized that, hey, even if, say, next year we make the playoff, if I don't, like, win a natty soon at Oklahoma, I'm going to be the, you know, the like, well, he got us on the doorstep but couldn't get over the hump. Let's start looking around.
Well, and I think he probably also said, you know, this is year five. It should be getting it should be getting a little bit easier, and I'm not going to make the playoff. Then I'm going to be adding, you know, Bama's and Georgia's and, you know, A&M's and Ole Miss. You know, those teams.
Do we even know when that's happening now? It's like, what's the latest on that?
They're still they're trying to press it forward. But, no, it's just –
USC's a better job than Oklahoma.
I mean, historically, but
would you
not in the last amount of years?
Listen, if you're Lincoln Riley, there's a couple of things. It'd be a lot easier to recruit to USC. He's been getting a lot of kids from California lately. All right, that's where a lot of his stud. They just had one of the guys is about to decommit. He might have already decommitted. What top quarterback in the class in like 2023 or something like that? Not Arch Manning, but the other one. Pretty sure he's from California. But if you're looking at it as well. Would you rather live in Norman, Oklahoma, or Los Angeles, California, where the lights shine bright?
We're not talking about weather patterns here. We're talking about the job.
Yeah. The NIL deals would be so much easier out at USC.
I don't disagree with that. There's a lot of great selling points for USC, a lot. But it's also the fact that every dollar you made in Oklahoma is going to be worth about 25 cents in Los Angeles.
Money is not the object here. For him, he's about to get paid $10 million a year.
Right, so he's taking kind of a pay cut, in a way. You think I'm kidding? Gas is like $8 a gallon. I'm sure he doesn't drive.
Right.
Well, he drives probably a little bit. I'm just saying, he's not going for the money.
No, he's going to be the next Pete Carroll.
Maybe. But
it's like Rick Barnes. It really is. UCLA, he grew up whenever they were in their heyday. Mm. And Lincoln Riley was like, oh, a USC. That's
so the USC job to Lincoln Riley is just the top, like another better.
Maybe. I don't know. Has he said that?
No, but okay. that's a good guess, though. I mean, I'm just saying it's a guess.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, did he say that?
No, he didn't.
Okay. That's all I'm asking.
All he said, he's not going to be the next head coach at LSU. That's all he said so far.
Spot the lie.
Smart.
I mean, at the time.
There was a recruit's mom saying, he was in our living room last month, saying he wasn't going anywhere. If you haven't watched these coaches, I don't know what to tell you, Mom. I'm sorry.
He wasn't sure if the deal would get through. At the time, it's like recruiting at the time.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Right.
But now, he's there. He's gone. It's over.
And it's different when it's your kid, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, oh yeah, this guy's coming to Tennessee. He told the coaches. Then he changes his mind. Like he changed his mind. Or he was lying. One or the other. But we don't know. We'll never know. These are fluid situations.
I mean, he is from Lubbock, Texas, though. It's not like this is like. It's not like, oh, Lincoln Riley. He's got going back home to Southern California.
From Hollywood, yeah. From Englewood.
You know who his OC is going to be, don't you?
Who?
Graham Harrell.
Wait, is that official?
Where was Graham Harrell?
USC.
He was already there?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Are you sure?
I'm like 99% positive that Graham Harrell is going to stay on at USC.
So the guy who's been running the offense that hasn't been working is going to stay there?
Well, I mean, it's going to be Lincoln Riley's offense.
He's going to listen to Lincoln Riley now, I guess.
I don't know. Like, I feel like a year ago, Davey would have been like, oh, Oklahoma's a much better job. Oh, like, let's just, like, the coach makes the job. Like,
well, just all that stuff came out about USC.
I probably would have said that.
A bunch of stuff just came out about USC, like, not being a good, job anymore because of how hard it was for Clay Helton because of
they've got athletic department stuff. The Pac-12's a mess. Also, like, unless you're good, you are what the 100th most interesting thing to do in Los Angeles. Like, I don't think people are going to just be lining up. Now there will be some, and if you get them to a level where people are showing up, and hey, this is, you know, like Pete Carroll did when they had Leinart and Bush and all those guys, like, yeah, that'll be different. But those guys got paid a bunch anyway.
He's not the first coach.
You don't need
a prestigious
NIL deal.
Coach, a prestigious program to go to USC.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Spot
the lie.
That's what makes it different, though. Like
but at least Kiffin had coached there and has, you know, played at Fresno. Like, he's a California guy.
Like, if you kind of had to pick, you would have said that. Lincoln Riley, maybe his dream job is Texas. If he grew up in Texas, I don't know. He grew up in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, Rick Barnes grew up in Hickory, North Carolina.
Right,
it's all the way across the country.
Yeah, dream job.
Let's call it what this is. He didn't want the SEC gauntlet. It's going to become a lot tougher.
I think it's part that and part.
I agree.
When you're banging your head against a wall and you just and again. You learn again that you're just not going to break through, and you feel like, okay, I've done it. I've had as good a team as I can get here, and we haven't been able to. We've gone as far as we can go. It doesn't matter if you're a coach who's barely gotten your team into some playoff, or you finally finished second or third in some conference where you're never going to win it. You know, whatever. Whenever you feel like, I've done everything I can, I've had full cycles, this roster is as talented as I can, I can't get over the hump. I'm out. That had to be it.
Have his teams gotten worse since he took over?
I don't know if they've gotten worse, but they haven't. They've definitely like just hit this plateau where they're. It doesn't feel like they can get any better. He's had better offenses than this year,
right?
But he's had worse defenses at certain times, right? Like, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, if they win the game Saturday night, their record's the same as it is. I mean, they're in the same spot they've been
They've had the same record every year. Yeah. Like, he's, you know, depending on how many games they've played.
He loses two games a year.
Yep.
Every season. He's only had two losses each year.
He'll only have two this year because Bob Stoops is going to handle the bowl game. So yeah, that won't go on.
He's got a bad bowl record anyways.
In fairness, when you
those are also playoff games. Like I'm not gonna beat them too bad for two losses in playoff games. Although fairly, you should have beat.
This is the first year he like hasn't won the Big 12, right? Didn't they win it? Even though it looked like they weren't gonna win it.
Last year it says they were second, but it also says conference title. So I guess they
finished. I'm pretty sure that's wrong. I looked at that sometime last week.
Weren't they second?
Second in the standings, but then won the game. Yeah, I think that's what it means.
Okay. Iowa State finished first in the standings last year.
And then
year.
Lost in the championship game. Therefore, finishing second in the Big 12.
So, Oklahoma's open.
Yeah, Oklahoma open. Pretty good job.
There you go, hire Mike Leach.
That'd be something.
Coming off the Egg Bowl loss? I don't know.
That would be some full circle.
I will say
stuff,
this,
though.
USC aside, this will be a very good test of what the Oklahoma job really is, because they have not had a true coaching search since 98.
Yeah.
Like this, it's a brave new world out there. They went from Bob Stoops to OC promotion, Lincoln Riley. And now they are left on Front Street saying, welcome to the game. Oh, by the way, you're up. Well, Florida's already made their hire. We'll get to that later. But you're up against, you know, LSU, Washington State, like a bunch, you know.
Virginia Tech.
It's, I mean, you have to view it going in as there's an open SEC job. So it's still going to be attractive to coaches.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be attractive. I just,
I would think some coaches would pick Oklahoma over LSU, depending on what their ties are and how dysfunctional they believe LSU is.
No, and you might be right, like in a vacuum or if all things were equal. But what I'm saying is, Oklahoma hadn't done this. This is brand spanking new. So, you know, it'll be interesting.
You also get to see just how good of a coach Lincoln Riley is, and can he build a program? There's a difference between building a program and inheriting a powerhouse and
sustaining
that level.
Yeah, he's definitely betting on himself, and I don't think that's a bad move at all. And he could never get USC as good as he's had Oklahoma the last couple of years, and he'll still probably have a better record than two losses once or twice because the Pac-12 is not very good right now.
Outside of Bob Stoops' first year, he came in when they were at their worst.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bob Stoops' first couple of years, Lincoln Riley came in when Oklahoma was at its worst and revolutionized that offense.
Rode Heupel's coattails.
Do you think Lincoln Riley saw how Oklahoma was about to fire Bob Stoops, even though he had won 11 games, you know, the year before? And just could get the feeling that, you know, man, I'll lose two games this year. God, what if I lose three next year? Like, so that's part of.
Well,
the
what's
whole
the deal with Stoops?
Is
he's like, what's his role there now? Obviously, not interim coach.
He's like Fulmer before he got fired again.
Well, he was AD.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, well,
is he AD?
No, he's not.
Okay,
he's
that's
like
what I'm
Steve,
saying.
No, he's like Steve Spurrier.
He was the AD. He has an office. He's like an advisor or whatever.
He's like Spurrier.
So did he maybe sense that Stoops was trying to like cut back in front of the line here?
I was talking about when he came in.
He jumped on that bowl interim coach job pretty quick.
Well, maybe. Maybe Stoops is back.
Well, I mean, you could have promoted any other coach that's been with the team, but Stoops was like, nope, got it.
Well, Stoops does feel a lot closer to actually coaching a football team than either Philip Fulmer or Steve Spurrier.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. But, I mean, Lincoln Riley came in a make-or-break season for Bob Stoops, and they made it. Mm-hmm. You know, like the year before, Oklahoma was getting set to run Bob Stoops even after having four straight years of double-digit wins because, you know, that wasn't good enough. And I feel like Lincoln Riley was headed for that fate. And so the more I think about it, the more I think this, even though if I was a coach, I don't think I would leave Oklahoma for USC. But
I don't hate the move for Lincoln Riley. I mean, I'm making the joke calling him a coward. I do think it just is what it is. It's data. He played at Texas Tech. He's obviously been at Oklahoma for a minute, but he's a young coach. He's got to think about his entire coaching career ahead of him. if he goes to Southern Cal and has any, if he makes a playoff at Southern Cal, which is a lot easier to do than Oklahoma, by the way, right now and in the next, you know, millennium, probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
If he does that, I mean, his name will be up in lights. He'll be getting NFL offers. And I mean, it's a smart move for him. And like Davey said, if his pipeline for recruits really has been heavy on California, like this is only going to help him out more. Now, I've heard a lot of different things about Southern Cal. Like, it's not the best as far as, you know, facilities and stuff like that. But you're in L.A. You're going to have, you know, celebrities swinging by practice and things like that. But you got to kind of get good first. But, no, he'll be celebrated as soon as he gets there. And if he has any kind of success, I mean, he's, you know. And it resets the clock, making a bunch of money. If anybody wants to hire him away, it'll be, like, the biggest raise ever by, you know, cost of living than where he's going to go.
USC is a private institution, but do they typically list how much their coaches are paid?
Don't know.
Couldn't tell you. They don't list how much the players are paid.
Yeah.
You got to look that up.
Yeah, my first thought whenever I heard he was going there, honestly, I was kind of surprised because everybody had their eyes on, like, oh, well, is LSU the thing? Mm-hmm. You weren't really thinking he's going to go to the West Coast. But I was like, well, I remember, like, the success Pete Carroll was having and how much fun all those kids had, like, during that time. I was like, I could see him wanting to recreate that.
Well, they had a lot of fun because they were making a lot of money.
Well, now I can kind of do it legally, so.
Right. How long do we think this was in the works? Like a minute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the game Oklahoma had before? Who'd they go? They went Baylor.
Iowa State.
Probably,
yeah. They won that game close, right?
Yeah.
Probably since the James Franklin extension got announced. They were probably talking to both of them.
Well, no, somebody who covers Oklahoma said this team has been a mess since they got back from, it was either Baylor or Iowa State. Like,
I don't really buy that the coach talking to through his agent to a school automatically means, like, you can watch how the team plays and identify when that happened, you know?
No, he meant, like, they played like that all season. They were kind of junky. Like, right, I'm just saying, off the field. Like, he was, you know, skipping out on commitments, being a couple hours.
The last couple weeks. Yeah, for sure.
And then a Saturday, I guess, after the Big Noon Kickoff show, it was tweeted that Bob Stoops would not return. So, because he had to do other responsibilities. So, clearly, Saturday, yeah, before Oklahoma State, it felt like Bob Stoops at least kind of knew.
He knew, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, why make that announcement? You know, like, he knew.
Right.
I think he knew Oklahoma was about to be looking for a coach.
Man, well, lots to get into.
But then the question is, who are they going to get?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least there was no panic yesterday, you know. Such a measured fan base that we have. Just rolled with the punches.
It is fun watching everybody's reaction.
There's nothing fun about it.
Nice long weekend. No. Tons to get into. No. We'll be back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
You're a monster.
What a long weekend. All good for Tennessee. Winners on the basketball front, football front. Ho-hum, taking care of business. It's nice to be complaining again as Tennessee wins games big. I liked that feeling. That was good. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. The number to join the program, 865-546-8200. We'll bounce around a lot today, so just weigh in with whatever, and we'll take it as it comes. We got Philly up first. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Philly.
So, Houston, we still got a coach or not?
We still do, as of now.
You know, I was going on the Oklahoma sites last night looking around, and I didn't know this, but most of the people Oklahoma hires for coaches are assistant coaches before they get there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember who the coach was before Stoops, but he was did they get him from Florida?
I think the coach before Stoops was John Blake, who was an assistant for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Who recruited a lot of good players, and Stoops pretty much started winning once he got there.
Then before that, yeah, he was
terrible. Howard Schoenberger was out there for 1 year. Now, he was a proven commodity.
But he only got 1 year? Yeah, he was. He went from D coordinator at Florida to Oklahoma in 99.
Okay. But his forte was with the Cowboys defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he probably got the job. But it's interesting, you know, both Stoops and McInerney were assistant coaches, and that came out all right.
Yeah, the name I've heard a lot, I was kind of surprised, but Jeff Lebby has been tossed around a lot. He was an assistant and offensive coordinator under Heupel at UCF, now with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I don't know if it's been his offense or if he's kind of learned from both of them, but I think the offense would be pretty good. And then the other one that's been tossed around just, you know, because nepotism and all that would be Mark Stoops. And then, of course, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Yeah. But again, those are two sitting head coaches, and maybe they're going to go the assistant coach route. I'm not sure.
Are y'all surprised that the Browns at Arkansas, the offense coordinator's not being out there any? Or
I saw his name mentioned, Philly, but I'm with you. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, wasn't he completely exonerated of all that, KB? He had nothing.
Yeah. I mean, hell, Art pretty much was.
Right.
So Kendall, yeah, he's fine.
I saw his name on one hot board, Philly, but again, I don't even remember who it was. It might have just been, you know, some Oklahoma board, but I think he was like third behind Campbell, and they might have had Lebby at one. But that's what I was saying makes this so weird. Like, they've gone the assistant coach route in the past. Yeah. You know, Stoops from Florida, who at the time was one of the best, you know, coordinators in college football. Riley, you know, comes in after Heupel under Stoops, revitalizes the offense, and then just kind of gets handed the job because it seems like if they don't give it to him, they're going to lose him. But they haven't had a true coaching search in 20-something years. So can you afford to do that at a place like Oklahoma now and just go find a, you know, pretty good up-and-coming assistant? I don't know. Especially as you're about to enter the SEC, that seems like a pretty high-risk, high-reward scenario.
Hey, see, look, their problem is their offense is all right. Their defense is not very good.
Yeah.
Not like ours. You know, they got better players on their team. But what about that guy was the assistant coordinator at Clemson, who used to be at Oklahoma? I saw his name bandied around.
Venables?
Venables, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the other name. I think it was Venables, Campbell, and then Lebby, and then Briles. So only one of the four were head coaches. Hmm.
Well, that, Stoops is involved, though. He might bring his brother in, you know?
Yeah, that's why a lot of people, I rightfully so. Look, I don't know what the exact relationship is between Heupel and Oklahoma. I know they've wanted to have him back and kind of celebrate his success, and he's kind of turned him down. But he's also been coaching. It's kind of hard to get away from your team and go to Norman for a game when you have your own games to prepare for. But I've also heard that he and Bob Stoops have not spoken since he was fired. And so if Bob Stoops is around the athletic department in any capacity, having any say-so whatsoever in the hiring process, which I'm sure he will, seems unlikely that either he would reach out to Heupel or that Heupel would listen. That said, if that's Heupel's quote-unquote dream job and they call him, I would imagine they could mend those fences and figure something out. That said, you know, Heupel just got hired here. He's got an AD that he knows, that he trusts. He's got a fan base that might have seemed like they were pretty pleased, but after the reaction yesterday, it's safe to say Heupel's won the fan base over as much as one could in the first year. I think it'd be – I'm not going to say no, but a lot of things would have to happen, I think, for Tennessee to – lose Josh Heupel in this scenario.
We've seen it happen before, though.
I know. Well, that's why people say you shouldn't be worried at all. I was like, I wasn't worried at all in 2009. I learned my lesson. Like, I'm not sitting here panicking about it, but to say there's no way it's not going to happen, I mean, yeah, you can say that, and you got a 50-50 shot of being right or wrong, but
I think a coaching search would be kind of fun.
Well, guys, I'm kind of tired of it.
Me too.
That bunch over there going after another coach, I mean, I don't think Heupel's ever going to get us to the promised land, but if he can just get us to a bowl game and every year, I'll be happy for a while, because we got to have some stability of this program, which we don't have, haven't had years.
No, I agree. And with this offense, like, if the defense can pick up pieces, like, I was impressed with Banks. I'm with you, Philly. I don't know that he's going to win SEC championships and get you to the playoff, but the good thing is, once this 12-team playoff scenario hits, with this offense and an improved defense, like, it's not impossible for Tennessee to be in the top 12, you know, on a fairly consistent basis. You hit the right schedule with the, you know, I mean, hell, we're already kind of talking about it for next year. If Hooker comes back and you add some pieces through the transfer portal, like 10-2, 9-3 with that schedule is not crazy. And yeah, if it's kind of a mess and you're one of the high-flying offenses that people are, you know, attracted to, I mean, you could be in the top 12 next year at the end of the season.
Well, if you're too smart, which they're not, they need to refuse to play Alabama every year. That's the only, and they make it fair for everybody in the SEC, play everybody on both sides when they start this thing, just rotate it around and not have Alabama as your permanent opponent in the West. Don't even have it. Just rotate people around. It's ridiculous.
Today, I agree with you, Philly, but, man, like, if Saban retires next year, then it's like, oh, man, we gave up playing Alabama as they search for the next great coach. And maybe they find a really good one and it doesn't matter, but I don't know.
Hell, they didn't look good Saturday.
No, they didn't. They didn't look good at all.
We'd try to beat them if we'd play them Saturday.
What do y'all think about Georgia and Alabama? You think Georgia will beat Alabama?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I've learned to never count out Nick Saban, so I don't know.
Oh, I'm not counting him out. I'm just –
I think it'll be pretty close because I think Georgia will play a little tight. It'll everybody will be on, you know, pins and needles and going 100 miles an hour to start the game.
Well, if it comes down to coaching, like a coaching decision here and there, yeah, like Saban will win the game. But I just,
well, kudos to Davey and Rat Boy winning Friday night. That's the only time I pull for Duke unless they play Kentucky. See you,
Philly. Thanks for the call.
That was a great game. I did watch all of that. I was surprised.
I watched it again during the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game, too.
You watched it again?
Well, I had Tennessee on my phone, and then when I went to the
voluntary reaction.
ESPN app, the first thing there was just the replay sitting right in front of me. I was like, well, I'd be an idiot not to go through that again.
Yeah. Why would you? You got Thanksgiving weekend college football rolling, and
Tennessee game. He has to do a show about the game.
You're rewatching Duke basketball against Gonzaga in what at the end of the year be a meaningless, you know, kind of showcase.
Yeah. I rewatched Tennessee when they knocked off Gonzaga when they were number one.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I did too.
You think Cale Gundy gets a look a little bit because if Mike Gundy wins the Big 12, you think that helps? So he's been at Oklahoma forever. He's been their recruiting coordinator actually since 2005.
He's been at Oklahoma?
He's been Oklahoma's recruiting coordinator since 2005.
Cale
Gundy, Mike's brother. Mike Gundy's brother is at Oklahoma. His name's Cale.
Does he get a look?
Like just in the carousel of get a head coaching job. Not at Oklahoma, but
no,
somewhere.
He's not on field at all?
No. I mean, he's the offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay.
He's the co-offensive coordinator.
At Oklahoma.
At Oklahoma. But
so he does nothing?
He played quarterback at Oklahoma.
All right.
He was a GA at Oklahoma. Then he went to UAB for
a
few years.
You're not saying at Oklahoma. You're saying somewhere.
Philly said, hey, Oklahoma usually hires coordinators. So I was like, yeah, who are their coordinators? I know Alex Grinch, obviously, on defense. And I knew Bill Biedenbaugh is their co-OC, but he's an offensive line guru. I didn't think they'd promote him, obviously. I was like, who's their other co-OC? It's Cale Gundy. It's Mike's brother. Mike Gundy's brother's at Oklahoma.
Maybe Louisiana. They're looking for a guy.
There you go. Something like that. See? Final segment. Hour one. Next. Get more phone calls. Final segment. Hour number one. We'll go right back to the phone calls. We got Matt up next on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If your loved one's been injured in an accident, go to G3HelpMe.com and contact them. Let them know you heard about them right here on Fan Run Radio. That's G3HelpMe.com. Proud sponsors of the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Matt, you're on 3 and Out. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys?
Where you been, brother?
You're saving up that money for your lunch.
COVID, man.
What?
I was in quarantine.
Oh, no.
I know COVID, son.
Glad you survived.
I'll tell you real quick. I had some chest pain, which was weird. and it ended up being a virus, but I went to the urgent care, and then they checked me with an EKG and told me that I had a mild heart attack. And I went to the hospital, ended up not being a heart attack at all. And so I had a pretty crazy week.
So you had COVID and a non-heart attack?
Like it was, wow. I had no, like my chest and heart were good, and but the whoever took the first EKG, I guess,
didn't
know
to read it.
I don't know, they didn't read it right. So weird week, man.
Always
so.
Get a second
well,
opinion.
Glad you're okay. Is the family okay? Everybody's okay?
No, everybody's good. Everybody's good.
Okay.
Erica stuck me upstairs and wasn't really able to get around the kid. And I'm back out now. I'm back at it, boys. So,
was she like sliding your food under the door? And
dude, pretty much. It was kind of nice, man. I just stayed up there. Video games.
That's what I did. I had a good time too.
Somehow I knew Matt would be like, yeah, wasn't that bad really. I was having a good time. Yeah,
like a bad 24 hours, and then it was just like, all right, 2 weeks just to hang out and lay in bed. Mm-hmm. And all right, sign me up.
Yeah. Well, fellas.
Matt, where's your panic level at? You know, 1 to 10.
I'm a little worried about it. I'm a little bit more, I think, than I don't sense a lot of worry from the fan base, but I think people should be. I mean, good Lord, it's Tennessee, and number one, and number two, Josh Heupel's probably a perfect fit for Oklahoma. Plus, he's a hell of a coach, so I think they'd be dumb not to go after him. And I'd say he's probably on their top three coaches hot board, wouldn't you?
Depends on who's making the list. Like I said, the weird thing is the dynamic between Heupel, Stoops, and then some of the – because apparently their athletic department hasn't turned over a lot. So a lot of the people who were kind of in on the, well, let's scapegoat Heupel and bring in somebody else, apparently a lot of those people are still there. Like I said, he apparently hasn't talked to Oklahoma, anybody, in, you know, year, like since he was fired in, 2015? So it's very, very strange.
If Oklahoma's a smart program, unlike Tennessee, they would drop that pride and give him a call. I mean, that's what cost us from getting Lane Kiffin, was the idiots over there running the show. So, I mean, that none of that stuff should matter. It's what matters is wins and losses and whether that guy can coach a football team. And Heupel can coach a football team. Who gives a damn what Stoops thinks? You know, if that's the case, Stoops should, that's like former running the ship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be in charge if he's making a decision based on emotion. So, you know, what's the buyout for Heupel?
Eight.
Yep.
8 million. What's the buyout for Kiffin?
Not eight.
Is it public?
Is it higher
do we
or
know?
Lower?
They have to release it. I don't know what it is, but.
Well, you know, I'm not panicking over it, but I'm a little worried. I mean, it's a perfect scenario for him to go. You know, like he played there, he coached there. He's a good coach. You know, I think if I'm from the outside looking in from, you know, cloud nine, I would either call, if I'm Oklahoma, I would call Heupel or Mark Stoops. I think of those the two best coaches that can come out there and win. Those are two really good coaches. What Stoops has done at Kentucky is amazing, and what Heupel did in year one, isn't he the most, the best year one coach in college football?
Yep. All by himself at 7-5.
Yeah, so I mean, with a decimated roster, imagine what he could do at Oklahoma.
I think I'd rather
the problem
not.
Is, well, yeah, this you guys tell me. I think look, Lincoln Riley's just a straight up. You know, I mean, he's a punk and a clown, and he's scared. That's exactly why he left. His team this year would have lost four games in the SEC, would they not?
I don't know whose schedule do they have.
Let's roll them in that West schedule. Let's say they got Auburn, Alabama, A&M, LSU.
Yeah, did they play A&M early or late? Because A&M did what they always do and tanked all the way to 8-4 after beating Alabama with one loss.
I think Lincoln would have beaten Ole Miss and Pitt if he had our schedule.
I don't know about Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's because we're so good and kept it close. I just don't know. Like, it just kind of depends. Like, Ole Miss played some really, really good football. The West was so up and down this year. I mean, A&M beats Bama and then loses to, you know, Mississippi State, LSU.
Mm-hmm.
LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think at best he's 9-3. But it could have gone a lot worse.
Well, I don't know, guys. Y'all think that you think the impact of them of Oklahoma coming to the SEC would make an impact on Heupel's decision to go to Oklahoma?
Well, I looked this up last night. I mean, so because someone else said, I think they were joking around, there was a plane going from Baton Rouge to Knoxville, and everyone said, oh, it's going to be LSU coming after Heupel. We play at LSU next year, and then Oklahoma comes here in 2024. That's at funny. Least currently scheduled. I don't know how they'll do that since we missed that game with them last year.
I don't think Heupel and LSU would be a good fit.
No, I don't either. I think that was a joke. But if you're Heupel, what makes more sense? I mean, I feel like right now, obviously, Oklahoma is a better team, better roster, but the transfer portal could kill that in a matter of days. Does it make sense to have stability at a place like Tennessee where you know you're coming in to kind of rebuild and you've got your athletic director here and a fan base that's fired up, or go to Oklahoma and hope you can maintain what Lincoln Riley was doing as they enter the SEC where you already are?
Yeah, well, he'd be dumb to leave. Look, I don't know. I want him to stay. I think he'll probably, if this all shakes out, I think he'll go. But I think it's dumb if he goes to Oklahoma. I think, like you're exactly right, it'd play out just like when Kiffin went to USC. He'd go out there and tank and, you know, who knows what after that. But my thing is, guys, and I'll hang up and listen, is if he is going to go, because I think he probably will. After all this is said and done, I just think somehow it ends up happening that way. My question is, who over there on the hill is behind the scenes right now trying to make that Lane Kiffin move? Because that's the only coach that matters at that point. He's one of the top two coaches in the country, and it's a perfect fit to get him in Knoxville. If they don't get him, everything else is a bust. So I either want Heupel to stay, obviously, because I think Houston, you said a minute ago, if we got a quarterback and we can get a running back next year, this team with that schedule, we beat Florida next year for sure. And I'm not even for sure with Alabama. That Alabama team's not that great. We could hang with them at home, and who knows what happens. But 10 wins next year is not out of the realm of possibilities. It's just not. But if he goes, we got to get Kiffin in here. Have to. See you guys.
See you, Matt. That's
answer the question about who on the hill would make the move for Kiffin. The answer is nobody. So.
That's the problem.
I can get you that one. I can answer that one very quickly.
Unless that NCAA thing wrapped up about tomorrow. yeah, that'd be a pretty tough.
And also, I don't think, again, people said this about Kiffin, but I don't think Oklahoma falls that far down their list where Heupel's a serious candidate.
Well, that's the thing. I've seen him in the top three names. I mean, it depends on what hot board you're looking at. But, I mean, he's...
Well, I've got one pulled up. I want to get to it next as we kick off hour two.
Oklahoma
Josh Heupel is on it at some point. We can weigh the other options and read about what the Oklahoma writer said about Heupel, the fit, all that good stuff.
Great. Great.
I'm not worried, though. I'm just not. I'm not going to worry about it. If Heupel goes somewhere else, then he was not going to be the guy that was going to, you know, be Tennessee's savior anyway. And,
is that right?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm sticking with.
He's former Saw on the Hill in some capacity, so they could bring him in to coach the ball game.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.